have been kind of been talking about this thing called Still Celebrating. Still Celebrating, it's a series that we started way before Christmas, which is in the month of December. Still Celebrating has a concept behind, and the concept was very simple. The concept was to help every one of us to understand why we celebrate Christmas. Why do we celebrate Christmas that happened 2,000 years ago? So beside all the gift exchange, beside all the Western food that you get to eat, the turkey, you know, and all of that, we are trying to help you to connect the dot and to be able to walk away in this Christmas season. Everything that Christmas was meant for, not what everything Metro Jaya Christmas is meant for, not what everything Jasco and all of that, okay? I don't know, do I get into some commercial controversy? I hope I'm not, okay? But the whole point that we want to do this Still Celebrating is because we want to tell everybody that connecting those dots are very important. You know, we live in a days of life where because it happened 2,000 years ago, and sometimes we potentially are not able to connect the dot. To illustrate not connecting the dot, I will tell you an old story. Some of you have heard it before, but just bear with me. I couldn't find a fresh story, but this remains my favorite story to illustrate the failure to connect the dots. So many years ago, when Joel was about 3, maybe 2 years old, and that was the season when Finding Nemo just came out. So I took my son to watch Finding Nemo. So how many of you have watched Finding Nemo? Okay, how many of you have never heard of Finding Nemo, potentially, you know, of a certain... Anyway, but Finding Nemo was a fantastic movie because it's one of those animation... Is it animation? Do you consider that? Anyway, depending on looking at my daughter, okay? And kind of a movie, but it really tells the story of how Nemo went lost, you know, and then the father, Marlene, and then, you know, all of them did everything possible to reconnect back. So it's really a father and kid kind of a movie. So I took my son... And he was stuck to the screen throughout, you know, watching and laughing, you know, all that. So I still remember I took him back that night and I was putting him to bed. And I thought I can have this father and son moment. I thought I can help him to connect the dot. Why I took him to the movie, right? So I look at Joel. I say, Joel, if you are Nemo, who am I? Who am I? And my son, eyeball to eyeball, stares straight at me and say, shark. Okay. And you knew that he did not connect the dot. He somehow missed the dot, right? You know, in life, I think there were many times we failed to connect the dot. We connected the wrong dot. We walked away knowing something that was so apparent, so clear, yet we missed the main thing. Now, when I think about Christmas, it's exactly the same. Right? Because we are enjoying so many different parts of Christmas, but potentially we miss the main part. So my job today was trying to, in this series, Still Celebrating, helping everyone to connect the dot. And not only that, we want to bring the very best of why Christmas happened to each and every one of us. So we started with a series of the concept of Christmas begins with God giving Jesus a title. It's called God with Us, Emmanuel. It really is a heartfelt statement from God that how much I want to be with you. And we kind of talked through that being with someone covers everything about for someone, cheering someone. The word with communicates all, everything that you wanted to do with someone. And that was God trying to tell us. Not only He wants to bless you, He wants to be with you. And then we kind of talked through celebrating abundant life, okay? Celebrating abundant life, just the abundant life that God has meant for all of us to have. And a life that is not defined by what's happening on earth, but really a life that is celebrating who God is to us. And then we talk about celebrating second chance. And the idea of second chance really is the idea that every one of us in life, we were messed up in life. And then, as we kind of talk through that today, I want to talk about celebrating salvation. This whole concept about salvation. Now, the concept of salvation, when Jesus came in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, the Bible was very clear to tell every one of us why Jesus came. You know, historically, culturally, people always say something about Jesus. People tell Jesus that He's a fantastic teacher. People say that Jesus is a moral example. People tell us that Jesus lived an incredible life, that He sacrificed Himself for a good cause. Such a heroic act. There are so many titles and pictures and descriptions put on Jesus. But did you know, none of all that defines who Jesus is. If you were to ask Jesus, Jesus said, yeah, I know, I'm a great teacher, but more than that. Okay, I know I'm a good moral, but more than that. My job is really to bring salvation. He will tell you that. How do I know that? Because the Bible says when Jesus Christ was born, this is what happened. The Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, which is Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give the name, come on, say together, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. The Bible tells us very clearly, you will name him Jesus because he's going to be a great teacher. No. Because he's going to be a good moral example. No. Because he's going to make a big sacrifice. And No. The Bible says who Jesus is was to save us from sin. It's as clear as that. Crystal clear. That's what the Bible says. Now, the word Jesus simply means God saves. His name means God saved. Yeshua means God saved. Salvation. That's exactly the name. So if you're first time in church, you walked away from this later, you ask some of your Christian friends, by the way, do you know what Jesus means? If you don't know that, you are smarter than them, right? But the name of Jesus simply means God saves. And his mission, his job description, his JD, his KPI, if I can say it that way in today's terminology, is to actually save us from sin. So to connect the dot to who Jesus is to connect the dot to him saving us from sin. All right? Now, to help us to kind of better understand that, we have to talk about sin. Because a lot of us could not connect the dot to sin. Our culture doesn't talk about sin a lot. In fact, we don't like it. How many of you go to a friend and say, hey, you know, how's your sin? Did you sin yesterday? None of us. We don't use that word. And because of our sensitive culture, we use the word mistake. And we use all kinds of terminology to replace the concept of sin. So much so that for the first time, I think in today's world, people look at what's right and wrong very subjectively. The whole idea about objective morality has been kind of shifted. So today, it's very common that you hear people say, what's right for you is what's right for you, what's right for me is what's right for me. I wish that's how it is in exam. No, 1 + 1, 3, it's right for me. I know it's 2 for you, but it's right for me, 3. Right? I wish that's the way it is. I think a lot of students want it to be that way, right? But you know, life could not live without subjective morality. There's no right and wrong. In fact, a couple of days ago, I was talking to someone who really believes in that. There's no right and wrong. And this person, almost in some sense, was trying to help me to understand if the community believed that this is right, then this is right. A little bit of a Sam Harris kind of a thinking, if you know who he is, okay, one of the biggest atheist brain. And community defined. So if the whole entire community, and this is the actual conversation, if the entire community thinks that bribery is right, then it's right. It's not wrong. But I can have my own personal conviction. It's just that my personal conviction is not big enough. So Christian has a community conviction that lying is wrong. Therefore, they say it's wrong. But if I think lying is a way of life, then it's right. Okay? So we have come to this very blurred space. I don't even know. I call it a messy space of very hard for people to connect the dot with what is sin. And because it is so messy, who wants to be saved? But it is also in this messiness that we actually see the greatest expression of sin. So I call sin this. Sin is the source of all human pain, suffering, evil deeds, selfishness, judgmental, deception, Pharisees, you know, everything. All this comes under sin. Sin invaded every area of our life. We see the expression. We see when a child being 2 years old refused to share the toy, throw a big tantrum and the toy and smash it. We see that as a sin. All the way to someone that's 90 years old who was caught in his own pornographic mind trying to, you know, it's expressed in the whole spectrum from the highest CEO to the most famous singer right now that was caught in this whole sexual scandal, Mr. Wong. Okay, I know some of you are really big fan of him, okay? And I really feel for him. That's the expression of sin. Have the greatest external form, but it is so messy inside. And a lot of us will say, yeah, that is Mr. Wong. But you know what? You don't need to point a finger, because there's a Mr. Wong in every one of us. And you know it. There's a Miss Lee, there's a Mrs. Lam, there's a, right? It's all within every one of us. It's called sin, every one of us. Now, this is what the Bible says, okay? Romans 3:23. The Bible says, for all have sinned, fall short the glory of God. That means we never reach God's standard. You know what? I don't even have to talk about God's standard. I can't even reach my own standard. To help me to see sin, I don't even have to match it with God. I just have to match it with myself. You know, in my house, and my wife is going to, you know, in my house, I help to do a bit of the laundry, just a little bit of all that my wife has to do, okay? And I've been telling my wife, the best way to do laundry is to get a dryer. Because if you get a dryer, you don't need to hang the clothes. Sometimes you feel like hanging yourself rather than the clothes. Just kidding, okay? And then when it rains, you don't have to did anybody, you know? And then sometimes you miss by half an hour, all the clothes are drenched, and then you redo the whole process, you know what I'm saying? So I was trying to convince my wife, you know, get a dryer. When she's sleeping, I say, get a dryer. When she wakes up, I say, get a dryer, you know? Wish her happy birthday, get a dryer, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, right? Okay, now, but because she wanted to wait for, you know, our house to redo a little bit and making a better space. So I tell myself, okay, I'll live with that. So I'm not going to be upset. I set the standard. I will not be upset. But one fine day, after I do 3 rounds of laundry, nobody keeps the laundry. The clothes were out there. And the rain came. So I set a standard, I will not be upset. I come back home, I became the Incredible Hulk. I couldn't even keep to my standard. The best way to look at sin is to look at yourself. Because we see that every day of our life. I don't know, watch this, I'll go to the gym, New Year, I'm going to lose 5 kg. All that we could not. Sin leads us in a certain route. All right, now, shortly I'm going to get Nelson, but I want to give you 2 verses and then I'm going to close with Nelson's story. Romans 5:12 says, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, which is Adam, death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because of sin. So the Bible tells us this. The Bible says that we are all sinner, therefore we sin. It says, then how did sin come in? It says, sin came, entered, grand entrance to the world. When Adam disobeyed God, sin entered the world, and then comes with his best friend called death. Okay? So sin and death is the 2 biggest buddy. Okay? And then Romans 5:17, Jesus say, for if by the trespass of one man, which is Adam, he says, death and sin reign through this one man. So you know what? So all this while, sin and death reigns on the earth, which is why you have the flood, which is why you got corruption, which is why you have the political turmoil, which is why you have someone who judges people, you have one who thinks they are better than you. You have all of this thing because of sin reign in every one of us. Then the Bible says, but how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, notice this, reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. The Bible is trying to tell you, with Jesus Christ, you can reroute your life so that your life will not be scripted by sin, who reigns in every one of us. He says, by the gift of righteousness, which is what Christ has done, and the amount of the provision of grace. He says, you can actually rewrite what sin has prescribed for your life. Now, sin has prescribed every one of us, which is why some of us are a little bit more rebellious. Some of us are a little bit more prideful. Some of us are a little bit more combative. We get angry easily. Some of us, we are more greedy. We are all tainted by this thing called sin. And that sin has kind of write the script of your life. But the Bible says when Jesus Christ came, He came to save us from sin. And it wasn't just meant for us to get to heaven. He says that if you were to have Christ today, you get to rewrite the script of your life. I'm going to invite Nelson. Nelson is someone that I met 2 years ago, and Nelson has an incredible story of how sin and death reigned in his life, prescribed a certain path until he met Jesus, and how Jesus changed his life. He connected the dot 2 to 3 years ago, and he will tell us the story. Go ahead, Nelson.
When Pastor asked me to share my testimony, my story, I told him it's his story because it's old already, and now it's new story. God has rewrite my story. I said yes, and I hope that through my story, you will be able to see, it will give you a perspective how God can move in a person's life, and how God has moved in my life, and how God can move in everyone of your life as well. So a little bit of background story. I was born in 1992, November 10, and my mom passed away when I was 2 years old because of cancer. She had leukemia right after I was born. And when I was born, all I heard the story was she lost too much blood. And then my dad had to go back and forth to the blood bank and then back to the hospital, and then come back to the blood bank again, and then come back to the hospital again just to get the correct type of blood. And my mom has 11 siblings. None of them has the same blood type as my mom. So my mom passed away 9 days after my second birthday, my 2 years old birthday. She passed away on 19. My birthday was 10. So that night, a little bit of story. Even my auntie used to tell me that that night it was raining, downpouring, and they have to go and get a cake, come all the way back to a hospital, so that just so my mom can celebrate my second birthday with me. And she did not have a photo at all, because she didn't want me to see how she looked like at that very moment. Bald hair, not having makeup, pale face after receiving chemotherapy. So growing up, I actually had a lot of bitterness, very bitter. And I always have this question in my mind. It's like, why am I even here? What is the purpose of having me? I thought that I have ruined a very beautiful family. My mom was 30 years old when she passed away. My dad was 33, and I'm 29. I couldn't imagine how it was like when she had to go through all the things, the hardship, the cancer. You know, the cancer, these words, it's actually very daunting. It's scary. And it has been in my heart. Another quick thought is, actually, there was a person that is very close to me. She told me this. I know she does not mean it, but she told me this. She said, my mom had the cancer because she had me. Because 6 months prior to my arrival, she had another baby and she miscarried. And she couldn't wait to have me. And that's where the doctor said, no, you have to wait. But she kept on going what she wanted to do. And then she had me. So in my mind, this bondage has been with me for 27 years. And I always thought, did I kill my mom? Did I take someone's life away? And you know, my background is I'm not from a Christian family. I've never heard of Jesus. I'm from Buddhist family. My entire family is still Buddhist, still Taoism. I'm the first one. I accepted Jesus 2 years ago. So we always know that there is a tian, we call it sky. We thought that there's a God, but literally we pray to all kinds of gods, but I don't believe none of them. I always tell my friends, even I have Christian friends that appear in my life, I said, I am my own God. I don't need your God. When they try to tell me Jesus, I say, I am my own God. I dictate my life. I don't need God. So too much bitterness, and sometimes I would cry in my room, but I don't want to let people see my weakness. I would push my face against the pillow and then cry, and then I would look into the sky and I say, I hate you. Why did you take my mom away? And I hated God. Don't tell me, God. Please. And how I know Jesus, even though God has been sending people who are Christian in my life. 3 years ago, I had the privilege. I escaped from Malaysia. I got working holiday visa in New Zealand. And somehow I met a girl who is now my wife. Her name is Jacqueline. She was the first one who brought me to church in New Zealand. She invited me. And I said, I've never been in a church in a foreign country. So why not? Let's try it out. So when I was in there, I did not participate, obviously. I don't understand anything at all. And she prayed to God. She asked God, what do you want me to tell this person? You send someone in our life, there's gotta be a reason. So God showed her a vision, and she saw that there were walls surrounding me, a very high walls, and I was right in the middle. And after the service, she told me what she's seen, what God has showed her. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? But I did not admit that I had problems, and she did not know I had problems. And then she said this little sentence that stuck in my mind forever. She said, Jesus loves you. And guess what my answer was? My answer was, sorry, BS, bullshit. I said, no, he doesn't love me. And the same thing I said, I am my own God. I don't need love. I dictate my life. And if he loves, he go love someone else. I don't need his love. Tolong, please don't tell me anymore. And then the church that we went somehow gave me a book. It is called The Bible, which all of us know that it is the Word of God. And I did not know at that time. I just took it. And I brought it home to Malaysia. And when I was alone, out of curiosity, I read it. I read Luke, I read Matthew, I read. And then I quoted the scripture, the parable of the sower. I quoted from the Bible. And my wife realized that I quoting Bible. And she said, is that from Bible? And I said, yeah. Just out of curiosity, I thought this is something very good, but I'm not believing your God. Yeah, I'm still my own God. And then she challenged me. The defining moment, she challenged me. She said, why don't you challenge God? You ask him who he is. Is he real? And everything that is in your heart, you can ask him. My God will answer you. She is that confident. And that night, I challenged God. Again, I look into the sky at night and I said, why am I here? Why did you make me feel like I killed my mom? I ruined a happy family. And I don't feel I belong here. Even there was one conversation I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna die when I'm 30 years old. And she asked why. I said, my mom died when she was 30. I don't want to expect anything about life. I don't want to have hope, so I don't get disappointment. And immediately she broke down. She cried. She cried because she knew that is a lie from the devil that has put into a young man's life. And she cried. And then fast forward, after I challenged God, I laughed at her. I said, no, your God did not answer me. There was no audible voice. because all I was expecting was like, "Hello, Nelson. I'm God." No such voice. And then I mock at her. I said, "No, your God did not answer me." And one fine day, a YouTube sermon, a short clip, just popped up out of nowhere, notification on my phone. And I watched it. It was 4 minutes. And after the 4 minutes, I cried alone in my living room. Everything that I asked a couple of days ago, God answered exactly everything that I asked. He told me that I am not an accident. I am chosen. And I'm here for a purpose. He said that He knew me when I was in my mother's womb. And why He used my mom as a vessel to bring me here. I am not an accident. And I cried. I wanted to know, who is this Jesus? Is He even real? I've prayed to so many gods, and I don't believe it. None of them has spoken to me. I've been doing a lot of works just to get myself to feel comforted. Sometimes I even thought that my mom is the person sitting right beside me in the cafe or restaurant. Is she my mom? Because I believe in reincarnation. I believe in she might have reborn. But none of them answered. None of them happened. But this Jesus spoke right to me and want to know Him. So I search on website, I search for church, and there is a website, and somehow I clicked in. It was a page with sinner's prayer, and I prayed it, but I don't understand it. And it says, if you pray that prayer, contact us. I contacted. And then that's where I start to search churches that is nearby my house. And I found this church, and I came alone. And the first time when I came, it was Mother's Day. How funny it is, right? I don't have a mom and I came on Mother's Day. But that day, it was Jason who was sharing his testimony on stage, talking about his mom as well. And I was sitting right there and I cried like a baby. And the next time when I came again, I brought my wife along with me. That time she was my girlfriend. I was in toilet. Pastor Tim, he was waiting outside of the toilet, waiting for me. How many of you are grateful for our pastor who always serving us? Went all the way, come to the toilet and wait for me. He said, "You are new. I've never seen you. Can I get your number?" And that's where my journey started, as I was seeking God, as I was seeking Jesus. And I remember there was one day, a very heavy question in my heart was, if God is so good, if God is so just, and if all of us receive Him and we go to heaven, where did my mom go? Did she go to heaven or did she go to hell? And with this question in my heart, I texted Pastor. I said, "I have to see you." And despite his busy schedule, he came and met me at 11 p.m. at night. And we talked for 1.5 hours. I cried, my wife's cried, Pastor cried. And from that conversation, it gives me a perspective change to know that I have to know the character of God, the character of Jesus. What does He decree? What does He like? Who is He? Is He the kind of God that is same as all my previous gods, that I only come to them when I need something? And then everything changed. That year, 2019, literally every week, I prayed sinner's prayer. I received Jesus again and again and again and again and again. Because my past 27 years, the bond was so strong, I thought that I'm gonna die when I'm 30 years old. I thought that I had no hope. I thought that I don't deserve life. I thought I have to do everything before 30. Everything was broken. Jesus has broken the chain. He has set me free. And I know that God does not pick me just because I am tall, I'm rich, handsome, big house. None of that. God picked us where we are. And whether we are depressed, where I was, lonely, feel like there is no one understand us, don't know what is the purpose of life, whether we are in sorrow, we are sad, we need a job, whether we always feel that the world is not fair and we entitled for more, God is here to meet us. And God met me. And God can meet every one of you if you are hearing this for the first time. And I want to say this is because I know that God has spoken to me, He is so real. As long as I have breath, the public declaration is so powerful with my mouth and my tongue. I've stopped talking about death. I'm no longer telling myself that I will die one day or something like that. But we started to declare with my wife, from my generation onwards, we will serve the Lord. As long as we have breath, we will praise Him. We will talk about His testimony. We will share His goodness. We will share His mercy. We will share everything that He has given us to everyone that has not known Him yet. And I want to thank Pastor for encouraging me to share my story today. And I know that God has liberated me. He has set me free. But today we speak about still celebrating second chance, salvation. 3 weeks ago, we talked about abundance life. But you know what is the best? The best is Jesus promised all of us everlasting life, eternal life. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Nelson. I had the greatest honor to marry them a couple of months ago, one of the MCO. But that brought me back to 2 years ago, the conversation we had that very night. His story captivated me. I talk about how he will go to school every day in the bus scholar and seeing every child having a mom to embrace them, and he didn't have. He talked about how he came back home and he wanted a mom to hug, to cook for him, and he doesn't have. He talked about when he saw a girl, he wanted to have a conversation with a mom, how to treat a girl, he doesn't have. And to see for him to have that thought, 27 years, thinking that he killed the mom. Sin and death reigned in his life until he met Christmas. Until he met why Christmas happened. So that the Bible says Jesus can save each and every one of us from sin. You know, today, Jack and Nelson, they are... Jack, would you stand? At least people get to see you. Jack, would you just kind of wave like the, you know? Yeah, all right, thank you. And I know there's one conversation we had where he invested in his own money, all the tools, the camera, the whatever. And then he shared with me, Pastor, I want to do all that because I want to capture as many stories that I can post in YouTube, and I will always post it at a certain hour because every time between 10 to 12 is where a lot of lonely people wanting to search for stories of hope. And he says, I want to collect as many stories so I can video them. I can tell as many people this hope that I can have. So starting from January, they're going to be our new life group leader. And we're going to piece a group of together, and then trusting that the abundance that God has done in their life will flow through as many, just as how it has been for me and my wife, who had the honor to journey with them for their premarital and, you know, all of that. His story was what a contrast between death and sin who reign, and then salvation and the grace of God who reigned in his life. You know, as we bring all this to a close, that's what Christmas is all about. that is connecting the dot to Christmas. Knowing well that sin who potentially has pre-scripted your life, salvation, God can give you a new chapter and a new script of life that you can live your life powerfully, abundantly, the way God has meant it to be. I hope that just as Nelson 2 years ago in the living room, he prayed a simple prayer, very insignificant by then, but that was that little open door that eventually significantly changed the rest of the course of his life. And I think God took it from there, how I met him, you know, and I normally don't wait for people in the toilet. Just in case you see me in the toilet, you say, "Oh, Pastor, you know, no, I don't do that, okay?" I don't know why that, you know, but anyway, I want to help you to connect the dot. And I want to pray. So I want to invite you, if you've never ever prayed that prayer, that challenge that Jacqueline gave is the same challenge today. The best way to connect to God is to say, "God, where are you? Are you real? If I were to invite you, could you rewrite my script?" Is to actually do that and let God be at work. So I'm going to pray. And those of you who have never prayed that before, I hope that you will pray together with me. Prayer is a combination of believing in your heart and confessing in your mouth. It's as simple as that. There's no religiosity. There's no formula. It is really a heartfelt, sincere thing unto the Lord. So I'm going to pray. I want to invite you, if you have never prayed that prayer, and in your heart, you want to invite God so that He can re-script your life, so that He can reign in your life and not death and sin, then you do this. All right, let me pray. Dear Jesus, today, I learned to connect the dot to the reason for Christmas. Your name, Jesus, simply means God saves, saving me from sin. I wanted that so that my life is not scripted by sin, but my life is scripted by you. So today, I open up my heart. I invite Jesus into my life. I welcome you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, maybe everybody, your head remains bowed, your eye closed, nobody looking around. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it in your heart, could you just wave? Could you just wave? I know I couldn't see everybody, but could you just wave if you have prayed that prayer? If you could you just wave and, you know, I couldn't see everybody, you know, but if you have done that, at the end of the service, I'll be here. I'll be more than happy to say hi to you, get to know you, and trust that God will lead you in a journey. Let me just pray for you, and then we're going to bring all this to a close. God, I am so grateful that today we get to be reminded. We get to be reminded of the greatest essence of Christmas, which is you saving us from sin. We still celebrate because of your salvation given to us. And I pray that we will walk away from this place inviting you to rewrite the script of our life so that sin and death no longer reigns, but through the grace of God and your righteousness, we reign in life with you. God, I bless everybody in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask and pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.